Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. This is the Grace for This City podcast, and I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural motivation and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. And you know what? It's an amazing opportunity to serve him. Listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are missing out. You're dead. But you could live. Accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. Very simple prayer to say, Lord, I give you my life. I yield to you. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, and only you can save me. Take my life and do something significant with it. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, the Lord will take you up on it. And the Holy Spirit's going to come in and cause you to be born again just like that. Hallelujah. And now you'll truly start living. And, of course, we'd love to have you on the gospel team. Hallelujah. Joining the ranks of brothers and sisters all over the world who are bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're hope dealers. We take light into dark places. Oh, it is an adventure. Hallelujah. Well, hey, let's jump right into the podcast today. And I want to talk a little bit about belief. And at the church, I've been in this little mini series, and we've been talking about the endurance of belief. You know, you have to endure. You know, if you look at the language of the Bible, it's full of the encouragement. I mean, really, it's a command. I mean, Jesus, King Jesus gives commands, and we say, yes, sir. It is our privilege to be told what to do. Hallelujah. But the Bible is full of, you know, be strong, stand strong, don't waver, don't give in, endure, fight, press, overcome. I mean, this language of steadfastness, this language of not flinching. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. I'm generalizing, but it is full. I mean, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I mean, from where he was telling Joshua, only be courageous, only be strong, and then on into the New Testament where it's endure, hold fast, cling to the word. Well, that is what we do. We don't give in. We don't give up. We don't back up. We continue to press. We continue to believe, friends. That's what we do. And our greatest opposition in terms of spiritual warfare is really the strategy against us of unbelief, which is functionally disbelief. And so I want to talk about that, because you're going to turn your city upside down. You're going to have to hold fast. I mean, you're going to have to hear the word of the Lord, believe the word of the Lord, and begin to move on the word of the Lord. But I'm telling you, the enemy of our souls, the devil, we find out in several different places that he's going to come after that word. Mark 4 tells us that's exactly what he's after. Because of the word's sake, he's going to set up strategies against you in order to get the word out of your heart. And then Galatians talks about if you will not grow weary, if you will hold fast, if you will not faint, but if you'll endure, when you get to due season, hallelujah, there'll be a manifestation of what you've been believing for. But up into due season, for whatever reason, the enemy can buffet you. And we'll look at that word today too, that word buffet. No, I didn't say buffet, friends. I said buffet. And that's a very interesting word. And we need to look at that because it exposes a strategy of the enemy against us. But I'm saying all this because I've been just pondering and meditating about our role as believers. You know, that's what we're called. That's what we were designed to do. In fact, we were made to believe. Come on, we were made to believe in the image and likeness of God. We were fashioned and formed to believe. That's what we do. Hebrews 11:3. Let's start here and we'll get right into this. But Hebrews 11:3 in the New Living Translation, it says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Oh, friend, that is wow. I mean, we need to do a podcast just on a couple of these thoughts right here. But what we see did not come from anything that can be seen. The Passion Translation says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So again, we were created to operate. We were made in the image and the likeness. So we were created to operate just like our Heavenly Father. Now, in particularly, to believe and then speak. Just last week, I was on a podcast with a friend of mine. You can look up Matt Fay in Fig Studios. Tremendous job that they're doing. Go look me up on his podcast there. We did a video cast this last week, and we were talking about the spirit of faith. And I was looking up the spirit of faith, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find the definition of the spirit of faith. Now, you know, the spirit of a thing, right? I mean, there is a thing, and then there's the spirit of a thing. And the spirit of the thing is what really is what animates or gives the life to the thing. You know, you see the thing, but then there's the thing, the spirit of the thing that really animates it. It is, at its core, that is what makes it what it is. Well, what is this spirit of faith? What is the spirit of faith? Where the Bible defines it. And David got the revelation of it. Paul got a hold of it. Then he wrote to the Corinthians about it, and you and I have it now. But the spirit of faith is, we believed, therefore we speak. We believe, therefore we speak. That's the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so we operate like that. And we operate like that because we were designed and created, formed and fashioned to operate like that. And we were designed to operate like that because that's how the Heavenly Father operates. He believes and then he speaks. That is the spirit of faith. Another place in the Bible, it says, be imitators of God as little children. Well, what are we imitating? Everything that we're doing that is good, right, godly, everything that is heavenly, spiritual, we have because of imitation. We have because of revelation. We have because we're being trained up after the ways of our Father. The Holy Ghost is revealing to us how things work in the Spirit. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. And in same way, same form and fashion, you and I are imitating our Heavenly Father. And if we're told to believe and speak, where is the origination of that? From the Heavenly Father. So we know that our Heavenly Father believes and then speaks. And then Hebrews tells us that everything that we now see came to being because he coordinated it with his words. The power was released out of his words. Hebrews also tells us that all things are upheld by the power of his word, meaning all of his power is in his words. That's how it works in the spirit. And so we see that the universe was created and coordinated by the power of God's word. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth. Oh, hallelujah. So we were created to operate just like that, to believe and then speak. Let me ask you a question here. Well, what did the Father believe then? I mean, if we're to imitate him, if we are made in the image and the likeness, our form and function is derived from him, then what did he believe? I mean, he spoke by faith. Everything that is seen came from the unseen by faith. We'll get into that because faith is a substance. But if he spoke and then faith took on substance, what did he believe subsequent to his speaking? Now, this is not a trick question. But follow me here. John chapter 1. Go to John 1. John 1. And we'll look at verse 1. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, I don't know if I've taken time on the podcast. I think I have. maybe several weeks ago when we were looking at the wiles of the devil, maybe in that podcast. I'm not sure, but I'm going to tell it to you now. But the word with is the Greek word pros. And the Greek word pros means intimate, not sexual, but intimate. It means as close as physically possible. It means nose to nose, face to face, shoulder to shoulder, rib cage to rib cage, chest to chest. I mean, it means close. It's a fellowship. It's an intimacy, although not sexual. It's an intimacy. And the word was with pros, God. We could say it like this, that the word fellowshipped with the Father and the Father fellowshipped with the Word. John tells us this, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with pros, close. They were intimate. The Word was intimate with the Father. Now, we also know that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word. We were created, listen, we were created to fellowship with the Word, the same intimate fellowship that the Father enjoys with the Word, we were created to enjoy with the Word as well. And from our fellowship with the Word comes faith. Now, let me give you a very generic definition for the word faith. It's still leaning biblically, but let me give you a generic Bible definition for faith. Faith is a firm belief. It is a complete trust. It is a confidence or a conviction that connects you to the power and ability of God. So faith is a belief. Now, there's a secular faith in operation out here. People believe in stuff, but not everybody believes in God. In fact, there is a passage in the scripture. Jesus said, when I return, will I even find faith on the earth? Now, he's not talking about just a generic belief that people have. Listen, there are no vacuums. There's no such thing as not believing in anything. You have to believe in something. And so when someone says, well, you know, I'm an unbeliever. You know, I don't believe in that. Well, you may not believe in that, but if you don't believe in that, it's because you believe in something else, right? There's no vacuums. And so you have to believe in something. So there is a secular faith, let's say it. There is a faith in the world, but it's not a faith in God. It's not a confidence in God. It's not a complete trust in his words or his ways. So Bible faith would be a firm belief, a complete trust, a confidence, a conviction that connects you to the power and ability of God. Now listen, for the born-again believer, for Holy Ghost believers, faith isn't just belief. I mean, it is, but it's not just belief, because the Bible then takes us into a deeper revelation of this operation. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the, can you finish it? The Bible says that faith is a substance. Now listen, it's a real substance. It's a substance that is foreign, if you will, to this reality that we live in. This is the natural realm, okay? The Bible says this is an age, okay? Meaning it has a start point and it has an end point. We, if you're born again, you and I are not going to exist eternally in this age. This is a natural realm. Time is involved here. Things are in a degraded state because of sin, because of the injection of the curse through man's sin, through man's fall. They fell from glory. And now we're in a time frame. It's an age. The Bible calls it an age. And he says that Satan is the god of this age. Okay? But this age has a beginning and an ending, and we're not going to eternally be in this. There's a spiritual term for this age. It's called mortality. But soon we're going to cast off this mortality and we're going to put on immortality. Remember those passages of scriptures. And we're going to have a glorified body that can exist eternally and interact with what we know now as the spiritual realm. Well, that is where we're destined. Okay. But right now we're in this age. And faith is a substance. It's a little unfamiliar to this age, but it is a substance that is very familiar to the spirit realm. In fact, it was by faith God created everything that we see. So faith is a substance. Now, for the believer, we go beyond just a generic belief or confidence or trust to now operating in faith that becomes a substance. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says this: faith is the assurance or the substance, watch this, the confirmation or the title deed. That's a phenomenal addition there that the Amplified added. Faith is the title deed of the things we have hoped for, faith being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. And it adds this line, the Amplified Classic adds this last line: faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Okay, senses, that word senses connects us back to the natural realm. In the natural realm, you operate by your senses. In the spiritual realm, we're not limited to our senses. In the spiritual realm, we operate by faith. And many times people get hung up on these concepts because they will take something from the scripture. Okay, they'll take a truth of scripture, like say maybe healing. And they'll say, well, that just doesn't make sense. You know, I'm feeling the pain in my body. How can I already be healed in Christ Jesus if I'm still feeling pain in my body? Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, I'm telling you, what's making sense is the pain. What doesn't make sense is the word of healing. The revelation that 2,000 years ago, when Christ took stripes on his body, by his stripes you were healed, that doesn't make sense. Well, it wasn't designed to make sense, friend. It was designed to make faith. See, you got to realize that you are not just a flesh natural being. You are not just what you smell, taste. You are not just what you see with your natural eyes. You are not just what you feel. In fact, the Bible calls that your Sukkot. That's your tent. But you are a spirit being inside of this body, and you possess a soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And through your soul and your physical body is how you interact with the natural realm. But see, you have a spirit part of you, and that spirit part of you should be in operation in the heavenly realm. That spirit part of you should be alive unto God. You are seated with him, is what the Bible says. You are in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. From that position, your awareness of the substance of faith should be alive unto you. And if it's not, well, I'm giving you some knowledge so that you can be partakers of the heavenly and divine nature. Peter tells us that through knowledge, you can partake of these things. So I'm giving some of that knowledge to you right now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is helping us. Amen. Thank you for believing with us. But in the natural realm is limited to what is sensible, sense able. But faith doesn't operate like that. Faith perceives as real what is not revealed to the senses. Listen, you're not going to taste or smell or see with your natural eyes or hear with your natural ears or be able to touch naturally all of the spiritual realities. Those, the revelation of those things, the discernment knowledge, okay, of those things come by way of the Spirit, not by way of your natural senses. So I love this here. I love what the Amplified says. Faith is the title deed. Faith is the title deed. It's the proof of the things we do not see. Now listen, get this, friend. Just because it is unseen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Once again, you have a natural part of you. There's a part of you, namely the body part, the flesh part, the soul part. There's a part of you that has known mostly the natural reality. You were born in this natural realm. You were born into a reality of being fallen from grace. Okay? You were born into the reality of sin, degradation, disease, sickness, poverty. You were born into the reality of not having glorified function, of not being surrounded in glory. But see, Jesus came so that that relationship could be restored. He is the what? The hope of glory. Okay, so most of what you and I know until revelation comes. We yield to Jesus. We're born again because you got to be born of the Spirit. We're born again. And then we begin to renew our mind to the reality of the spiritual realm. But you don't interact with the spiritual realm with your senses. And that realm, we find out several places in the scripture, is really what influences this realm. And so we have to connect by way of being born again, have our understanding enlightened, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. We come alive to the spiritual realities. Then, by faith, we begin to take from that realm and bring into the natural realm. Everything that you can see naturally was created by faith. It came out of the place of the unseen and was manifested, and now it has become seen. All right, are you with me, friend? Hallelujah. So, here is faith, and we know that faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by the word. You don't automatically make this up. You don't, there's this term called presumption, right? And a lot of people make stuff up and they say, well, I'm in faith. Well, see, you got to understand faith is an important thing here because faith will take upon itself substance. Faith will take upon itself flesh. But the authorization for that to take place, see, what does faith do? Faith perceives as real what hasn't been perceived to the senses. Faith has revelation knowledge of a thing that exists in the heavenlies that does not exist in the natural. But by faith, that thing that exists in the heavenlies will take upon itself substance and exist in the natural realm. Well, that, my friends, is a spiritual operation and a spiritual transaction. And that you don't do without authorization. Remember what the Bible says? Jesus is the what? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We could add this here. Jesus is the authorizer. Now, unless the word has authorized faith, you are not in faith. I don't care how bad you want something. I mean, there's a lot of people that want a lot of things, even healing. Let's say you want healing. I mean, you want healing, and it's obvious that you need it. But if you have not fellowshipped with the word and you have heard from the word, if you haven't heard from the word, you're not going to be in possession of faith, meaning you are not going to have the substance necessary to pull your healing out of the unseen realm and it manifests in your body in the natural realm. You can want it. You can need it. But God doesn't move based on need. He moves based on faith. Things don't take upon themselves substance based on need. Spiritual things take on substance because of faith. And the authorization for that spiritual transaction to take place comes out of the word. Now, we started saying that the Father fellowships with the word, and we're to be imitators, just like our Heavenly Father. You and I were designed to have fellowship with the word. And a byproduct of our fellowship with the word is faith. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me show you this in action. I want you to believe what I'm saying here, because you need to see this. So let me show you this. God fellowshipping the word, faith becoming a byproduct, and then faith becoming substance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. Listen to this. The Lord laid earth's foundations with wisdom's blueprints. Okay, wisdom. What is wisdom? Remember, other places in Proverbs says, my son, incline your ears to my words. Okay, so Proverbs connects this thought that the wisdom and the word are one. It's actually from the word is derived wisdom. Okay, so I just want you to know that these are synonymous terms here. So we could read this like this. The Lord laid the earth's foundation with the word's blueprints, or with the blueprints that came out of the word. By the words or wisdom's living understanding, all the universe came into being. All right, so let's combine some thoughts here. The Lord laid the earth's foundation, We know from Hebrews that he spoke it into existence. Okay, so when it says he laid the foundation, it's because he spoke it into existence. So the Lord laid the earth's foundation with the word's blueprints. And by the word's living understanding, all the universe, by faith, came into being. Now let's go to chapter 8, Proverbs 8:22. Again, in the Passion Translation, they did a phenomenal job here. Verse 22, in the beginning, I was there. Now this is the word speaking. For God possessed me even before he created the universe. From eternity past, I was set in place before the world began. Now, remember, this is the word talking here. This is wisdom or the word talking. From eternity past, I was set in place before the world began. I was anointed from the beginning. Verse 24, before the ocean's depths were poured out and before there were any glorious fountains overflowing with water, I was there dancing. Even before one mountain had been sculpted or one hill raised up, I was already there dancing. When he created the earth, the fields, even the first atom of dust, I was already there. When he hung the tapestry of the heavens and stretched out the horizon of the earth, when the clouds and skies were set in place and the subterranean fountains began to flow strong, I was already there. Verse 29. When he set in place the pillars of the earth and spoke the decrees of the seas, commanding the waves so that they wouldn't overstep their boundaries, I was there, watch this, close with the Creator. Excuse me, close to the Creator as his master artist. Oh, I love that. Daily, watch this, he was filled with delight in me as I playfully rejoiced before him. I laughed and played, so happy with what he had made, while finding my delight in the children of men. Listen, friend, I hope you catch what's being said here. That the Word was the master artist. The Word is what gave up blueprints. And the Father, notice this relationship here. Notice the fellowship that the Father had with the Word. And I love how the Passion Translation brings out this nuance here, that the Word and the Father enjoyed being together. I mean, the Word was dancing before the Father. The Word delighted in what the Father was creating as it was deriving its blueprints from the Word, or as he was deriving the blueprints of what he created from the Word. And this last part here, I laughed and I played, so happy. Listen, a lot of people do not have that kind of perspective concerning the Word. They think it's laborious. I mean, they think it's a drudgery. A lot of people approach the Word as this like bondage. Oh, I got to read the Bible. Oh, I got to study the Word. You know, I mean, it's like this religious bondage that they're trapped in. That's not the picture that we get from the Scripture. The Father enjoyed the Word, and the Word enjoyed fellowshipping with the Father. And guess what? Out of that fellowship, when the Father fellowshipped with the Word, now you and I are supposed to do this same thing. Out of that fellowship with the Word came what? Came faith. Substance came up out of that Word. And what did the Father do? He began to speak what was being revealed to him from the Word. When wisdom was giving up its blueprints, God took those blueprints and began to speak it into existence. Now, something really caught my attention when I was looking at this. In verse 31, at the end of verse 31, wisdom is enjoying, the Word is enjoying fellowship with the Father. But then, out of all the things that the Father had created, wisdom said, the thing I delight in the most is the children of men. Oh, get that, friend. Of all the things, and even out of the fellowship of the Father, the Word says, I really delight in the children of men. Listen, the Word wants to fellowship with you. Now, I think you can understand why they asked in John chapter 6, verse 28. Listen, this is what they said. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? What shall we do that we may work the works of God. That's John 6:28. And then in verse 29, listen to the answer. Jesus replied, "This is the service that God asks of you, that you believe." Listen, what did the Father believe? He had to believe something, because faith cometh by hearing. What did he believe? What did he fellowship with? He fellowshiped with the Word. You and I are designed to fellowship with the Word. But listen, out of that relationship, out of that fellowship comes what? Faith. Come on, wisdom begins to speak. Blueprints begin to rise up. I mean, it is not it is automatic. It is a natural byproduct of your fellowship with the Word that faith cometh. If you get into the Word, faith will come. It is designed to do that. And people say, "Well, man, what do I need to do to work the works of God?" Well, step one, fellowship with the Word. You know, that's what Jesus told Martha. Martha was confused. She's frustrated. And he's like, "Martha, Martha, listen, Mary has chosen the one thing that will never be taken from her." And he's basically telling Martha, "Hey, you need to choose the same thing here. You know why you're frustrated? You know why you're worried about many things? It's because you're not fellowshipping with the Word." And he invited Martha into a relationship like Mary had, into a posture like Mary had. Where was that? It was at the feet of the Word. You know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Mary chose the place at the feet of Jesus. You know what? Jesus is inviting us into that same love relationship, to have fellowship with the Word. Hallelujah. Jesus replied, "This is the work. This is the service. Only believe. Only believe." Listen, the Word will do the heavy lifting. All the Word asks of you is to just believe what is revealed. Now, we said this, I think I said on the podcast, Don't Doubt. But listen to this. Unbelief makes believing difficult. Unbelief makes believing difficult. Listen, unbelief is functionally disbelief. It's disbelief because unbelief is specifically targeted to refute and to be positionally against. Unbelief or disbelief is antagonistic. And the sole purpose of disbelief is to oppose and to resist. And the primary target, listen, unbelief and disbelief, the primary target is the Word of God. Listen, you were created to believe. You were designed. You were formed. You were fashioned to have relationship with the Word. You were designed to believe the Word. You and the Word. In fact, we read where the Word was revealing to us that it delights in you. It wants to fellowship with you. So we were designed to be complete in Him, to fellowship with the Word, with Him, fellowship with the Word. But unbelief and disbelief hates the Word, and it is a strategy against your relationship with the Word. Now listen, you should not play nice with unbelief. Do not tolerate unbelief. The Bible says, "Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices." 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They are not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds." Listen to this in verse 5. "Inasmuch we refute," or we cast down, "and we overthrow arguments, theories, and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." Listen, what is that saying? You've got to be on your guard against any subversive strategy of the devil to interfere with your relationship with the Word, because you were designed to hear the Word and believe. You were designed to fellowship with the Word, and faith come as a byproduct. Anything, specifically unbelief and disbelief, you've got to be on your guard, and don't tolerate or allow those strategies to interfere with that process, the process of hearing the word and believing, hearing the word and believing. Listen, friend, you can trust the word. If there's anything you can trust completely with no reservations, if there's anything that exists that you can trust 100%, you can just receive wholeheartedly, as they say, without concern that there may be something amiss, it is the word of God. It is the word that you can 100% believe, trust in, rely on, put your weight on. There is nothing else. The word alone, you can have that kind of confidence in. But I'm telling you, there's a strategy. It's called unbelief. There's a strategy. Functionally, it's disbelief. And what it'll do is it'll wedge in there, and it'll cause you to doubt what you heard. It'll cause you to disbelieve what you saw. It will get in there, and it will begin to, or it will attempt to convince you that you don't really have what the word says you have. Remember, the word's telling you, it's revealing to you what exists, even though it's unseen in the natural realm. The word is revealing to you what is yours by right of being born again. You're an inheritor. You are a joint heir. And the word is revealing to you, and the Holy Spirit helps too. The Holy Spirit helps to get the word to us. But the word's being revealed to you, and by faith, you are seeing something that belongs to you. And the word is revealing a thing that, even though it's unseen in the natural, it is yours. And so the word reveals this thing that is yours, and then faith will take that thing. Let's say it's healing. Faith will take that healing and put substance to it. Or we could say it like this: faith will cause the healing to manifest in your body. And disbelief will try and get in there. Disbelief will try and earn your confidence. Disbelief will try and earn your trust and separate you to where you now no longer believe that you're healed, that that new body part doesn't exist for you. Disbelief is a strategy that will try and separate you from what is truly yours by faith and get you to rely solely on the senses. It'll get you to try and believe something else. Oh, you cannot tolerate unbelief. You should not tolerate disbelief. Now, what is the crux of this whole thing? Let me give you this. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but it is just this simple. Philippians 2:16, holding fast to the words of life. Listen, this is what we do. I mean, you can apply what I'm talking about to anything, but I'm saying the crux of it all is what we do, what we do. I'm talking about the born-again believer. What we do, our work, is to hold fast the words of life. Oh, hallelujah. Let that sink in. Now, I think I started the podcast referencing Mark chapter 4, and we're told that the enemy will come after those very words. Once those words have been implanted in our heart, Mark 4:14, it says that the sower sows the word. All right, so we have this revelation, understanding now. It's no longer a mystery. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven, they're trying to get the word to us. They're freely giving it. I mean, they are not withholding. And because the word delights in you. Okay, so the word's trying to get to you. So heaven's mission is getting the word into you. And then in verse 17, it says this, but some have no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a while. Watch this. And he's referring to the word that's been sown. But trouble and persecution arise on account of the word. And because of the trouble and the persecution on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful. They stumble and fall away. Now, the whole context of chapter 4 will go in a little bit different direction than where I want to go this morning. But I want to point out this spiritual reality here. Is that because of the word's sake, the enemy's going to come after you, but he's going to come after you because of the word's sake. The devil knows, Satan knows, that if you fellowship with the Word's going to reveal something to you. If you fellowship with the Word, like the analogy of the seed, something's going to be planted in your spirit. If that Word remains in your spirit, then that Word will take upon itself flesh, and there will be something in the natural realm that wasn't there before because the Word revealed it to you. You believed it. Faith came as a byproduct. Faith took on substance. And now there's a foreign object, if you will, in the natural realm, and the devil hates it. See, he's the God of this age, and he doesn't want anything spiritual here. But there's nothing he can do to stop that if you believe. If you will awake to where you are positionally seated in the heavenly places, then from there, the Word can minister to you, and then you bring things into the natural realm that the devil wants out. I mean, and this can cover a range of topics, but we know from 1 John chapter 5 that this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask, oh, come on, if we believe that he hears us, that we can ask for anything and whatever, and we'll have the petitions that we ask of him. The devil absolutely hates that. The devil hates believers. He hates you because you are a believer. Oh, and he hates this whole process. And if he can interfere in the process, now how does he interfere? If he can get unbelief, or if he can functionally get you to disbelieve what you heard, then he knows that that Word is not going to take on flesh. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to receive anything. You're not going to get healed. You're not going to have increase. You're not going to have the protection that you need. You're going to know nothing about angels. You're going to know nothing about anything. If he can get the Word out of your heart, then he knows that he can abort, he can thwart the process, the same process that the Father, the same thing that the Father did in order to get everything that we now see. The enemy's trying to thwart and abort that same process. And listen, friend, the Word was designed to take on flesh. The Word, when it ministers to you, it's revealing blueprints. It's a master architect. The Word itself is creative power, because all power is in the Word. And the devil knows that if the Word ministers to you, if you fellowship with the Word, you're going to get some ideas. If you fellowship with the Word, you're going to step into the glorious function that you were created to do and be and operate in, and that's creative, and that's believe and therefore speak. And the devil knows that if you believe a thing in the Word and you begin to speak that thing is going to come to pass. So again, know the strategies, know the devices of the devil to where you're not ignorant of them. He's going to try and come and abort what you carry. And you're carrying something now. You've heard something. Now, you've probably made up some stuff like I have. I've made up all kinds of stuff. And then tried to put it on faith to make it come to pass, but it wasn't authorized because I didn't get that from my fellowship with the Word. But you're carrying something. You've got the Word of the Lord on the inside of you. Maybe you're believing for healing, or maybe you're, I don't know what you're believing for. But I'm telling you, you've got to be on your guard, because the devil's going to try and abort the seed of the Word that's on the inside of you before it takes upon itself flesh, or before it manifests. So trouble and persecution, or we could say disbelief, all that comes on account of the Word. It all comes on the account of the Word of life. And the moment you stop believing in what Satan wants you to believe, he'll assemble an attack against you, because he does not want you believing God. He does not want you believing the Word. Now, the Bible tells us that in response to the strategy of disbelief, we are to endure, cling to the Word, be patient, do not waver, do not fling or cast away our confidence. We are told to be a good soldier. We are told to not give up ground. We're told to hold, stand firm, and stand strong. We are charged to lay hold, and we are expected to fight the good fight of faith. Again, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He comes, and he always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And whenever you have a Word, when you have something by faith, he'll come after your belief. Now listen, Satan cannot stop anything from originating in the spirit realm. The word is upholding all things. But when that word fellowships with you and deposits life in seed or word form into your spirit, this is the point at which Satan comes after you. If he prevails in his strategy of disbelief, whatever word, whatever seed you were carrying will be aborted. If he fails in manipulating you to cast away your hope, then that seed or the dream, the vision or the word of the Lord will take upon itself flesh and become a living thing. It will manifest and be tangible in the natural realm. Satan hates that you believe. Satan hates that now faith is the substance. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Now this is the story of Paul. And the Bible says, because of the abundance of revelation, a splinter, one translation says, you're probably more familiar with the word thorn, a thorn, which was a demon spirit. Okay, the thorn was not an eye problem. That's been debunked. I don't know how many times. That's ridiculous now at this point to continue to, you know, propagate that. The thorn was not an eye problem. It was not a physical ailment. The thorn or the splinter was a demon spirit. And this demon spirit was sent at the request of Satan, not God, but Satan sent this messenger, this demon spirit, and this demon spirit became a thorn in Paul's side, a thorn in his flesh. Now, why was that demon spirit specifically assigned by Satan to Paul? Well, the Bible says because of revelation. Now, remember Mark 4. What does Satan do? Because of the word, he tries to set up strategy against you in order to get the word out of you. Same thing happened to Paul. Here in verse 7, there's a word used. I think the King James, New King James, several translations, even the Amplified, uses this particular word. And this demon was to, the Amplified says, to rack, buffet, and harass him, to keep him from being exalted. Paul had revelation. The devil hates that. The devil hates the word. What was Paul fellowshipping with? The word was revealing the spiritual realm to Paul. Paul got revelation from the Father, and the devil hates it. Paul was carrying the word. And what did the devil do? He assigned a little demon imp to harass Paul, to buffet him. Now, the word buffet, you can do your own studies, but the word buffet means this. It means to strike with the fist. It means to beat, slap. It means to thrash. It means to treat with violence. It means to insult with language. It means to weary and to exhaust. Listen, Paul was carrying the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing. He was carrying something. Oh, come on, friend. He had a word of the Lord. And praise God that he didn't give in, because you and I now are fellowshipping with that same word. But that demon spirit was assigned to Paul to wear him out, to try and exhaust him, to beat him, to mentally harass him, to slap him around. Three times Paul said, hey, God, can you take care of this? And then God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Well, listen, that's not God being mean. It's just how things work in the spirit. Listen, we are in, the Bible says that we are within the realm of the God of this world. And whenever we operate by faith, we're attempting to bring a foreign object, if you will, into the dominion of the devil, into the dominion of Satan. He's the God of the fallen realm. He's the God of the natural realm. And when we operate by faith, we're trying to bring revelation. We're trying to manifest revelation of what's ours in the heavenly realm. We're trying to bring foreign objects into this natural realm. The devil hates that. He hates it when Paul did it. He hates it when you do it. And every time you operate like this, what do you think? He's just going to leave you alone? No, you know it, because whenever you've believed God for something, whenever you've been in possession of faith, it seemed like all hell came against you. There were all these reasons to not believe. I mean, you had your flesh telling you this isn't going to happen. You had friends telling you, oh, that's stupid. You had family saying, just curse God and die. Remember what happened to Job? People don't always understand what you're carrying. The devil hates it. And so what he'll do is he'll try and harass you. He'll try and beat you down. He'll try and get you to get offended. He'll use the strategy of unbelief and disbelief against you. Because why? He doesn't want what you're carrying to come into existence in this world. Galatians tells us this, "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen, relax, and faint." Listen, I don't know why, but we know it's true that the devil legally can buffet you up until due season. You say, well, why due season? Because at due season is manifestation. Due season is birth. And from the time that you receive the word to the time that that word takes on flesh, for whatever reason, the devil can buffet you. And I guarantee it, he is not going to miss an opportunity to harass you. That's what he does. And he is tempting you to disbelieve. And if you disbelieve, you'll abort the word. Don't do it, friend. Hold fast. Keep believing. That's what you do. Romans chapter 4. And you know this story, Romans 4. This is where we find out about our patriarch of faith, Abraham. And there's something very interesting here in Romans 4. Romans 4, it says this, verse 17. Of course, God's telling him, he said, "I've made you the father of many nations." Now, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's the God that Abraham believed. And his belief in that God, okay, that's Jehovah, but Jehovah revealed himself as what? The God who gives life to dead things and calls things which do not exist as though they did. In the presence of that revealing, Abraham believed God. That's the God Abraham believed. By the way, that's the God that you and I serve. And when Abraham believed what God revealed of himself, his faith in God is what was accounted unto him righteousness. Or because of his faith, righteousness was accounted unto him. Now, he went on in verse 18. Man, this guy's awesome. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Well, contrary to what? God said, "I'm going to make you a father of many nations." Well, Abraham's like, my body's dead. I can't have kids. And look at Sarah. Her body's dead. She can't have kids. Her womb's dead. But see, God said, what? God revealed something to him that in the natural realm, the natural senses could not wrap their mind around it. It was not sensible, sense able. Well, it wasn't designed to make sense. God didn't say, "I'm going to give you a son as long as it makes sense." No, he revealed something to Abraham. Abraham, by faith, took possession of the thing that was unseen. Come on. Why? He was just acting like his heavenly father. He was just acting like the God who had just revealed himself to him as what? The God who calls those things that be not as though they did. And here is his first opportunity to imitate the God that just revealed himself to Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be a father. Abraham's like, wait a second. That is very contrary to everything naturally. I mean, scientifically speaking, I cannot have kids. My wife cannot have kids. God's like, doesn't matter, because I'm going to reveal to you what is yours in the spirit realm. And then what you're going to do is believe the word. And that word's going to get in your heart. And what is that word going to do? That word's going to take upon itself flesh. And soon, hallelujah, you will have a son. So contrary, this is what it's saying here, contrary to the natural senses, Abraham believed. He believed that he will be the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body being already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. I mean, he had opportunity. Why? Because the devil got in the situation with what? Unbelief and disbelief. But he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Watch this, verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Oh, friend, I hope you've been encouraged today. We're out of time on the podcast, but listen, fellowship with the Word. The Word wants to fellowship with you, and I don't know what you have need of. But I'm telling you, if you'll get into the Word, oh, the Word will begin to speak to you. And the Word will authorize. Come on. Whatever the Word reveals, it'll authorize it for you to take it. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you got something out of the podcast today, friend. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Let us know how we can agree with you. Let us know how we can stand with you on something that you're believing God for. It would be our honor to do so. Or call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get back with you. But we'd love to agree with you. We'd love to stand with you. Or, hey, if you just want to reach out to us and tell us we're doing a fine job, hello. We'd take that too. Hey, if you want to partner with us, help us get the podcast, keep the podcast out there. If you'd like to give a donation, help financially support us in that way, man, we just invite you to do that. We're so thankful. You can mail it to us, P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. That's P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/give. Or you can text the give 84321. That's 84321. Follow the prompts. Thank you so much for supporting what we're doing and believing in what we are doing. Hey, until next time, my friends, be blessed.